thank the elders for giving me this opportunity. It's always a joyful opportunity to expound on God's Word. And sometimes we need to reflect on that. And before I get started, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first 5 verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not of persuasive words, human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and that your faith should be with wisdom, should not be a wisdom of man, but with the power of God. Will you pray with me? Our most precious and righteous Heavenly Father, we come to Thee again as humbly as we know how. Thank You for all the blessings of this life we're able to enjoy. There's many souls out in this cruel world that need You today. And that we study today that we can go forth and do accordingly. And that this congregation will go numerically and spiritually. In Christ's most holy name, amen. Yet to your reading, Judges chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This the Israelites were constantly not being faithful to God. And on this point is that they have fallen into bondage a number of times. And then on the fifth judge, which is Gideon, and in that judge is due to their unfaithfulness to God. How soon men forget that without God they are weak. We are never far enough away from evil not to slip back into it unless we keep striving and growing. Israelites became prosperous, and the business of living and making a living absorbed all their time and effort. Then labor in the field is done. They found tasks to engage in until they had no time left for God. Neither man nor a congregation can be truly religious that is not missionary in spirit. Worship dies. Faith withers unless we accept the task that comes before us as Christians. When Israel lost sight of its mission, it felt no need of faith. Without the faith, they lost their strength. Without the sense of common purpose, they lack unity to resist the enemy. And we're overcome. Unity depends on purity of faith. The means of which bring failure home to them. Number one, it's always at hand. Let a man neglect his field, and nature will remind him. weeds will grow up, the crops will fail. Let a businessman neglect his business, then the debtors will overtake it. Did the Israelites think that the work in the field and harvest was their chief concern? If so, they will learn. Do we think that material things are the chief aim in life? If so, we too will learn. Must our privileges be taken away before we can realize that God and faithfulness to Him must come first in our lives? What about this nation? Here's the news. It took them over 2 years to get a budget for the state of Illinois. And meanwhile, schools were running out of money to operate. A lot of programs was being cut, make it hard on the people to survive. It was not like when I was back before my time. They didn't have welfare. But since welfare took over, you know, a number of other problems rose with it. But what about the moral evil that affects this nation, state, and community? Too many marriages are failing. Consider the moral corruption that's even in the government. How much consideration do we, the moral evil that affects this nation, have in our thinking? Now, concern all we that the moral corruption that exists in this country. Israel cried out, "Lord," Judges 6:6. They were eating husk. And this before the prodigal son. But they were thinking of God. It is necessary for us to get into the hog pen before we recognize our need for God. The first answer to the cry of Israel was the message of the prophets. Prior to this time, the prophets would have been despised and would have been rejected. But the Israelites, in their self-sufficient mode, now they are ready to hear. Some people were in difficulties that previous to their difficulties, they had no thought of needing a preacher or a need of a sermon. You may neglect the preacher or the sermon or both, but just think of him before. There will be a day you will think of him before the doctors and anyone else. Now the angel came down to Gideon in Judges 6:11-18. Though the angel of Gideon was able to obtain a vision of God, then the duty. These two always go together. The man that has no sense of responsibility has no proper vision of God. Isaiah 6:1-9. Gideon tore down his father's altars to Baal in Judges 6:25. This is always the place to start, at home. After tearing down the altar to Baal, Gideon built an altar to God, Judges 6:26. Did not just tear down the altars to Baal and leave it empty. He put the right thing in its place. Some tear down the altar and will leave it empty. He put the right thing in its place. Some will leave the altar to Baal and try to put the altar to God alongside of it. Neither of these would provide successfully. We need to learn from God, from Gideon, how to follow God's plan. Gideon is sent first to recover the Israelites' lost idols and restore their distinctiveness. There can be no hope for Israel unless their idols are restored and they recover their principle of their distinctiveness. In Judges 7, Gideon's army started with 32,000 soldiers, but this was too many for God. God wanted the Israelites to realize that they have not saved themselves. Judges 7:2 says, "The church should realize also that the battle is God's through honor for the victory over sin should be his." Too many times we forget this and rely on our own strength. Too many times we claim honor for ourselves that should be given to God. This also can cause us to refuse to enter into the battle because we face them in our own strength and forget about the promises of God. The faint-hearted are rejected. There is no place for the faint-hearted. Then we come across the water test. Water was needed, but in a way they drink showed their spirit. This is no haphazard test, but wisdom in it. The 300 knew what their mission was. They got their drink and was on their way. Others are still at the stream. Many commonplace things test requires of a man. Every day we are led by the stream where we are or are not earnest about divine things. We show our spiritual state by our attitude and our deeds, what we do with our time, what about our concern about the church, for the church, and its activities, like Bible study, Sunday worship. These are like Israelites' water tests. They show our spiritual state. How many in the church fail this test? Do we value worldly things and we spend all our time at the stream and forgetting there's a battle to fight? 10,700 of them was tagalongs in the army, without any sense of obligation. Are we tagalongs? Along with our sense of obligation. Now I talked about the 300 in Judges 7:7 through 8, chapter 8:41. They were select men. Bible makes unusual people out of ordinary people. They had faith in the course, cause, and they were willing to stake their life. If it's not worth staking your life or our lives, it's worth nothing. They made the fullness of their means. Let the results be with God. I heard of an instance where they had this tent meeting in this community. Seven women obeyed the gospel. These seven women, in the cause for Christ, they bought 3 acres of land and set about to put a building on it. Some of them were school teachers, but they rented land and planted it in cotton. They hoed it, they plowed it, they picked it, and they took it to the gin, they ginned it, and they sold it. And that paid for the building that was put on the land. Think of what the church could do today if we had the same and left, do what we can and left the results up to God. Everyone stood in his place, Judges 7:21. There's no idle man in Gideon's army. There were no soldiers standing on the sideline. Each man stood as though the outcome of the battle depended upon them. Thinking what the church could do if every soldier in the church could do if every soldier in the army of Christ stand in his place. They acted in unity. Each soldier was in his place, and when the sound was given, his picture and his light. Well, suppose that when the sound went off, one man jumped up, broke his pitcher, and then the light burned out. Then later, another man jumped up, broke his pitcher and light. There would have been no victory because they wouldn't be acting in unity. But how often in the church does one jump up with his light and finally, in discouragement, the light goes out? The secret of Gideon's victory was in their acting together. We need to learn this secret and apply it to the work of the church. Suppose it is time for battle. Half of Gideon's army cannot be found. Now Gideon wouldn't have to go out and round up all these characters. But by the time they got them rounded up, the battle had been over, and evil would have won. Why have we spent our time in rounding up those claimed to be soldiers in the army of Christ? Suppose one had the water put in his pitcher, and he walked around poured water on the other brother's light, putting them out. He'd be working against Israel. He'd be working for the Midianites. Yet, how often in the church we have some with water in their pitchers instead of a light? They will go around pouring water on other brothers' light. Suppose that each of Gideon's men had said, "I don't believe I can make it today. The other brothers can do it." they would have been no victory. For Gideon and his army, we often wonder why we do not win more battles for the Lord than we do. Yet so often, top many of us are willing to leave it to the others, brothers, to show up and do the work. Now suppose that half of Gideon's army decided to go visit another army. There would have been no victory for Israel. Suppose they decided they wanted to visit another army and left their post vacant. Yet this often happens in the church, and still we wonder why we do not win any more battles for the Lord. The Midianites were wrong, therefore weak. Wrong is never strong. It just appears to be. The victory of evil are short-lived. The simple lesson of Gideon's army, when applied to the work of the church, will bring us to a victory over evil. Gideon and his men did not quit until the job was done. In Judges 8:4, it says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, fainted, yet pursuing them." This is the attitude that we need today. And those who are not on the sidelines, I want to get back into the battle, because we need everybody. Because we got to be unified. We got to be together on this. Because evil's always going to be out there. Those that haven't obeyed the gospel would like to consider a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, you heard the word. You got to believe it. Now, the next step, y'all come for and consider. Confess your sins before the congregation and repent. And they be baptized into His love. And those who are fallen away and want to come back, some of us have problems. That's something we'll always have. And you want some spiritual strength to help you with these problems. As accordingly, come down as we stand and sing.
Page 1. Beautiful by page 1. Praise.